Actually, we could talk about anything. We talked about cereal last week, or was it week before?
We did. We are live.
Yo.
Hi.
Yo.
Yo. Yo. So we're like, what the? So did everybody hear us go, what the fuck are we going to talk about today?
I don't know. I didn't want to bring it up again just in case.
Oh, shit.
I'm not sure. So basically, yeah, as my own personal thing, I was a bit like, what are we going to talk about today? Like, is a particular, I guess, headliners, but I'm sure things will happen. Things will naturally emerge.
There's a couple headliners out there. They'll pop up.
Alex has had a bad belly for a while.
Yeah. You know, my stomach has not been ideal for the past couple days. There was a minute there where I was like, "Oh, dude, am I going to be able to get to this show today?"
Did you just bring a bucket?
Well, that's a hilarious
hit the
image.
Mute button and
yeah.
Don't worry, we'll have Power Wash Simulator here soon. We'll clean up.
That'd be the DLC. That. Alex VR's
talk about excitement, right? GT, how are you maintaining your, like, how are you not excited about Power Wash?
I am excited, but I've played it, so now I'm just waiting to play it again.
Oh, okay.
So am I excited about it? At this very moment, I'm like, I can't remember when it's coming out. So have they said a release date?
I don't know.
No, I don't think they have. So
you'll not know.
It's kind of one of those things. I'm a bit of a weirdo.
I can't, whatever it is, I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it.
I'm a bit of a weirdo, man. I try not to think about things, like, if I don't know when they're happening, or I just wait and see, you know?
The crazy thing is, though, it may be better than half the games we've been playing, like, the last couple months, though.
It definitely have more gameplay than some of them.
Yeah. Oh, bro, what have you been playing?
It's gonna be.
There's been some garbage out there, though. I mean, you can always pull out a couple good ones, but I mean, there's been some.
Do you know what?
Some rough ones.
Do you know what I did say before we get into introductions? I took the crazy steps to reset up my PSVR because someone wanted to play. I'll just tell you, Mike from VR Oasis. He was like, "Dude, I really want to have another go of Firewall," and I was like, my aim controller's like got coffee stains on it, covered in dust. It's not charged. And then I had to get all the wires and oh my goodness. Am I so grateful for one cable? It is unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Honestly. And then light-based tracking again.
I left my PSVR hooked up. Why, you ask? Because of Wipeout. That's right.
Really? I know you
that's
love Wipeout.
Is that good? That you could have nothing but that game on that console and it would be worth buying.
Astrobot. I played Astrobot today and that really surprised me. And it's really weird with the PSVR, right? That you've still got the deep blacks. You've still got really rich colors. It's not like crazy bright, but it's definitely bright enough. And apart from like a screen door effect, it still looks really good. Yeah. It was weird. It was so weird. I was like, this should look much worse than what I'm seeing today.
Typically there's a process you go through where you first put it on, you beam into the menu screen and everything is kind of blurry and shimmery and you're like, wow, this is worse than I remember. And then you start playing and it's like, okay, maybe we could do this. And as time goes on, your eyes and your mind starts to adjust to it. And then, you know, within a few hours, everything just looks fine. You know, it's good again. And, you know, it didn't hurt that you were playing Astrobot, which is one of the better looking games on it. But, you adjust to whatever you're used to seeing. It doesn't take very long.
I was just so surprised that, I mean, that is a 2016 headset. And it felt pretty good to wear, you know, apart from the fact my knee's literally dying. All the stuff's coming off it. But, I jumped into Firewall. Hella jaggies. Wow. There is so many jaggies in that game. But still, like, you hold the aim controller, you know, you move the gun around and stuff. And, it was different. So I've downloaded, like, PlayStation VR Worlds and a few other things that I might just, like, try and go through to remember, you know? Try and revisit.
Well, and like Skiba just said, like, he keeps his hooked up. And I think I saw like a tweet or something last week where someone was like, I don't know why I didn't realize this, but you don't have to unhook your PlayStation VR 1 to hook up your PlayStation VR 2. Yeah, and I did. I just like automatically, I was like, rip that thing out of there, you know, like, I don't need this anymore. Yeah. But like, now I think about it, I'm like, oh man, like, maybe it actually would make sense to leave hooked up. So if I wanted to pop into, you know, firewall or whatever it is, you know, AstroBot. So, you know, common misconception out there.
The only
thing
is,
leave that thing hooked up.
There is no, there is no connections left. Like I've got, I have got an external, so I've still got my external hard drive connected, but that's, it's all gone now. Like every single USB port is used. So, you're right. I actually wondered that myself, but I do remember thinking I couldn't wait to take it apart for PSVR 2. I was like, yes, get rid of all these wires. But,
Mr. Tasselhoff in the chat just dropped 10 Crewcast memberships on all of our viewers.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thanks, Tass.
Thank you, Tass.
Blessing the audience that way is lovely.
Love you, Tass.
If we can get Wipeout on PS5, PSVR 2, I am more than happy to disconnect.
There's no more games coming for PSVR 2 this year.
Nothing. It's just, it's over.
That's it, dude. We got it. This is what we're getting for the rest of the year. Enjoy.
Crazy. Well, let's do some introductions. First of all, we have Eric from QTC VR Gamer. How you doing, my friend?
I am doing really, really good. Like 2 seconds ago, my wife just came downstairs and said they just accepted the offer on our new home.
Congratulations. Massive smile, dude.
I was smiling. I'm like, really? Really?
Yeah. You know, when your cheeks might hurt from like your constant.
Yep. So, yeah. That's Brad, awesome. We're going to be neighbors, so Brad.
You're going to
next
Florida.
Door.
I'm so sorry.
Florida. I mean, MASH is that age now. You don't have a choice. You have to go to Florida.
No. See, listen to me, though. No, but in Florida, I'll be like the young man.
That's true. Right.
Like, true. I'll be in demand down there and be like, wow, look at that young guy.
Is it a retirement place or something?
Yeah. Especially for people from northeast where I am. That's where everybody goes.
Why is it? Is it like really chill?
Well, because it's warm and, you know, they have early bird specials. No snow, you know what I mean? When you get a certain age, you got to worry about breaking hips and things like that. So when you're older, you need to go someplace where you can't slip on ice or snow.
Oh,
and
man.
Crazy. Well, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you, man. That was fun news just now.
That is awesome. You got to pack away all those headsets.
Dude, I don't know how I'm going to do it. It's going to be close. I'm going to be, because here's the problem too, is like, I think when we'll be moving, I'll actually be in Germany and then I'll be visiting you in the great country of the United Kingdom.
Yes, bring an umbrella. Next up, we have Wes and Roots from Virtual Strangers. How you doing, boys? Good to have you back.
Good, thank you. Glad to be back. I was starting to wonder if I'm still on this show. Like, it's a bit reassuring that I'm here right now.
Hey, it's very reassuring, dude. Very reassuring. What have you been up to? You been up to much?
I mean, nothing new. You know, family, work. VR, the same as always.
Nice, love it. What about you, Roots? How are you getting on with Diablo? You done it? Completed it?
I'm taking the first season off because they pretty much screwed us with no lube at the end of the first thing.
Do you say lube or lube?
Yeah. So basically, they did the biggest nerf across the board and screwed everybody's build, specifically my build, like the way that I have my Paragon board and everything, and I put 150, probably close to 200 hours into the first iteration. So, like, why am I jumping into a season already again anyway?
Because Diablo is not World of Warcraft. You don't attach to an individual character like you do in an MMORPG. You basically play them all.
No, that's fine. And I don't mind doing that. I feel like it's disingenuous the way they screwed us at the end. So, I don't know. Season 2, hopefully they'll change a few things and I'll come back in, but right now I'm doing Remnant 2.
See, I've heard that's good.
Yeah, it's so far so good. It's the Dark Souls of shooters, although I kind of think Returnal is somewhere in there, feeling the same way. But yeah, it's hard as hell and it's really good.
It's weird the way you talked about that. So you feel like you've put loads of effort into this part of the game and now the developers have kind of screwed you over a little bit.
Well, this is the thing. I know exactly what Alex is saying. I was ready to go into season 1 and start a druid, start a new character. And I feel like I'd logged out for like a week before, take a little break. And then I log back into my sorcerer and everything's fucked. Like my whole build is destroyed. all my gear is nerfed, like all your best in slots are now shit. And I get it. You're moving on. But this is the thing. Just because season one comes out doesn't mean they have to destroy the Eternal Realm for the rest of the people that maybe didn't want to do season one. Oh, that's one aspect of the game.
Or and maybe so vulnerability was outperforming the other abilities. And they were like, you know what? We can't let people stack vulnerability like this because then it just destroys all of the other intended builds in the game. It sounds like a classic balance patch to me.
It is a balance patch, but they just destroyed everything across the board. I mean, I don't know. The consensus in the community is pretty much overwhelming, not happy with what they've done. The casual people, which I kind of include myself, don't know the difference, but I follow it further than I guess maybe I shouldn't. But I don't know. Like I said, I'm enjoying taking a break and moving on to the season two.
It's kind of weird. Like when you talked about that, it reminded me of Elon Musk and Twitter.
Oh, like, yeah.
I was kind of thinking, you know, I've put in years of work on Twitter and it is fun work. You know, I love building relationships and gaining followers and having a voice. And then like, he just seems to be, I don't know, just like, you know, fuck it. I'm going to do this today.
And change everything. You know, what's funny? You say that last week or it was 2 weeks ago, I went to go get in the chat that we have for the Crewcast and I couldn't. It was like, because it's sent by, started by you and you don't follow me. And because you don't follow me, I can't direct message you. And so I had to pay $8 to be able to join that chat to be verified.
Could have just asked GT to follow you.
Well, this is the thing, man. I don't want to upset Elon. Okay. Like, he's our future overlord. So
he's upsetting me.
No, I
noticed any difference. I have rarely been affected except for a slowdown following.
Mine has been exactly the same. Exactly the same.
Yeah.
I know Threads is like really quiet now though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so Threads was supposed to be that was like so popular the first couple of weeks, and everybody said Flavor Twitter's dead. Week. Everybody's going to Threads. I mean, and I went over there too. Like I did the same thing. I ran over there, but like crickets over there right now.
Yeah.
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 Who has two thumbs and didn't go over there?
This guy. My mom.
Oh, I thought it was someone's mom. Yeah. We're breaking this out already.
Wait, so you didn't take Jasmine's advice, Wes?
No. I said, we'll wait and see. We'll give it. Right. I'm a Twitter guy. I'm a Twitter guy to the bone. I'm not a social media dude.
You're an X guy.
Twitter.
X. But, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, X. That's right.
X app. Dogecoin.
It just feels like a little kid, you know. He's like, what do you want it to be called, Timmy? He goes, I want it to be called X. He goes, that's what we'll call it, son. You can have that for your birthday. You know what I mean? Like,
well, in fairness, he's been saying he's going to do that for a while, but no one ever really knew if he was being serious because he trolls and so much and like jokes around so much. No one actually knew if he would do it. And here he is. I guess he's doing it.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't really matter, though.
It doesn't.
No, it does not.
I didn't like, I think what I didn't like was like the idea of people not being allowed to scroll as much as they wanted to or something. There were some things that I've seen.
They're limitations.
There's limitations on the amount they can scroll, who they can DM. I think that, as you just said, I think they stopped that. Like you have to be verified to DM someone who's verified. Like that's a paywall for communication.
Can't I go into my settings and accept DMs from people that are not verified? I'm pretty sure that's a per account.
It's probably GT's. GT, you for whatever reason you didn't want non-followers.
He's exclusionary. I don't. That's way he is. He's the elitist and exclusionary.
Right. I'll have a look.
Actually, it's just Roots. He was like, I don't take.
He's like, no.
DMs for Roots.
Block.
Well, it was fine until he wasn't following me.
You should. I am following you. Why are you saying this?
I don't know. I never thought about the logic of Skiva. Like, just why don't you just message him and say, "Well, I couldn't message him. I tried to. I was like, dude,
I am following you.
As we speak, he's following you.
No, like, I've been following you for ages. I don't know what the hell happened. We had a donation earlier from Classic Grandpa. Hey. Hey, guys, I'm sneaking this in, so don't tell the banker. All right. Shh.
Don't know.
Sorry. But this is the only time I can tell you guys how much I love and appreciate you all. Big hugs. Big hugs. Whoop, whoop. Eric will be neighbors. Oh.
Nice.
See, I told you. Classy grandma.
Be careful,
big
bro.
Grandmas.
Be careful down there.
Eric's going to be a neighbor with Disney. Grandmas. Your wife's got to be excited. And your
literally,
dog.
I think I'm going to be like an hour from Disney and like an hour from the water, like 40 minutes from the water. So
that's
it's
crazy.
Like the perfect spot. Ocean, perfect. One side, Disney World. The other.
Eric, you can be classy granddad.
No,
grandpa.
No. Oh yeah.
I have my daughter's 9. There'll be no granddad anytime soon.
15, 20 years from now.
I may be old, but I have my daughter's very young. your kids are older than mine, GT. You'll be grandpappy before I will.
No, he's right.
That's interesting.
Yeah, he's right. Yeah.
Mickey Berrios getting busy in the chat. Everyone snatch it up while you can.
Oh. Yeah. Oh.
I like how he puts the name of it too, because a lot of times people just drop codes and you don't know. Everybody scrambles for it. Maybe you have it on a different platform, or maybe you hate that game and you don't want it. You know what I mean? You're not sucking up someone else's game.
Maybe it's Taco Face. You don't.
Maybe
know
it's it. Taco Face. Oh my God! What a good game.
Tornuffalo.
Mickey Bear, by the way, flying out to Phoenix in August to meet with the Heat. To donate his time to help us with the Game On Expo and bringing VR to the masses.
That's awesome.
Nice. Hell yeah.
The masses of Phoenix.
The masses of Phoenix.
Yeah.
We do it the best we can, man.
Yeah. We do what we can.
Amazing. Right. Next up, let me introduce Alex VR and Skeeb from Between Realities. How you doing, bros?
We're good.
How's it going?
We're doing great.
You had Zim on your show last week, I believe.
We did.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was chill. You know, it was cool. We got to hang out with Zim, learn a little bit about his history, and, you know, just talk about the profound nature of this incredible technology that we all share a passion for.
Yeah, he's OG in the space, for sure.
He is. He, as far as, I mean, we don't know anybody who's been streaming VR longer than Zim.
He was the biggest Twitch VR streamer once upon a time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he had like 10K following at a time when no one had a following.
He started streaming VR in 2014.
Holy moly.
Almost 10 years.
How's that possible?
Exactly.
DK1, DK2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'll have to tune into Between Realities to find out.
It must have been
fixed reality back then.
It must have been a split screen.
It'll forever be a mystery.
It must have been split screen. I remember the output on VR games was split screen, weren't they, as well, or something at some point? Like, you literally saw the left and the right eye at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Yeah, not very good. And last but definitely not least is sadly it's Bradley. How you doing, man?
Good. I've been busy doing a lot of different stuff, testing out prototypes for head strap. I don't remember if I talked about it last week, but we got kind of a first draft of our silly flip up head strap.
He's turning into fucking, what's his name from Back to the Future? Scott Smarty.
Doc Brown. That's Doc Brown.
We got a lot of way to go, but it's a thing that kind of works.
It's fucking awesome.
Is that made out of a Kinect set?
It looked like
it's kind of what it looks like.
You know what? It kind of does, and I wish you didn't say that because now I can't look at it any other way. But that's good.
It looks like it works really good, though. I mean, who gives a shit what it looks like? It looks like it works good.
That's true.
Yeah, this is like I guess you could say prototype zero. I have a forehead pad that's printing right now back there, and the idea is you'll be able to make the width of the forehead pad. Also, this thing's like super adjustable. You can change how high it is, how tilted it is. It's gonna have a lot of different options for people to mess around with.
Nice.
Very cool.
Nice, dude.
The $5 super chat, by the way, from Alakazam said, smoking some smoked deer steaks while watching some of my favorite guys. Keep up the good work. Much love from West Virginia. P.S. Quest Pro is not dead.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's interesting. I'm wondering if he's referring to these videos from Boz. And Brad, maybe you want to weigh in on this.
Yeah, I reckon he's reacting to Brad. I reckon it's all about Brad.
Hey, it's not me this time. This is all the information that pissed him off, so... but I didn't see him going out and saying the information is, you know, scummy and whatever. But he's clearly getting very pissed off of things leaking out all the time from their company. They try to make an example of me, but now they have to deal with The Verge and the information. So,
yeah.
I thought they loved The Verge, didn't they? I thought they were all like in like.
No, it's Bloomberg. Bloomberg. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Can you nobody explain, likes Bloomberg. Brad? Can you explain what we're talking about to those who are not aware?
Sorry. So last week we were talking about how The Information released a big article saying, we didn't talk about this part this last week, but The Information wrote that the AR glasses project is having more troubles and components are getting downgraded, features are being removed, but also they talked about how the current Quest Pro is basically getting near the point where they're planning for an early end of life. They're not going to make any more components to build more after they go through the current stock. And the prototype that they had planned for a near-term Quest Pro 2 was basically suspended and canceled, which, you know, kind of goes along with an earlier article earlier this year that The Verge posted, kind of saying the same thing. So this wasn't really new information. It was just like kind of corroborating based on that. Now, Bosworth kind of came out. He was walking through a hallway recording himself, sounding very pissed off, and was saying, well, no one knows except I do. I decide what goes to production. I decide what prototypes are done or canceled or what there is no Quest Pro 2 anyway because not announced. And he was insinuating that this leak might have came from someone who worked from a canceled prototype, so they're upset and just leaking it out to media.
Yeah, he basically said that they have like a bunch of different headsets always simultaneously in production without names, right?
Yeah, and you know, that's true. That is a true thing. Like I think I said last week, the Quest 3 had like three different prototypes they could chose to go to mass production. But I really believe for everything I've heard, the Quest Pro line is definitely suspended for now. They're not going to rush out to re-release a Quest Pro 2 next year, which was originally the plan. That's been something that's been like kind of coined for the past few years, but the Quest Pro 1's lack of sales clearly means that they need a bit more time to decide what they're going to do to make a bigger impact than the Quest Pro 1. So yes, the Quest Pro line is not technically dead. The Quest Pro 1 is kind of difficult to say whether it's dead yet. It's kind of showing some signs of a Quest 1 situation, but yeah, that's the
whole thing. It makes sense to me that it's probably not completely dead, but I mean, they could just change the name, right? You know what I mean? They could just change the name, not call it a Quest Pro and do something different. Cause here's the one thing I know that they don't want to get rid of and that they're very interested in. And that is eye tracking, because they want to use it for a lot of information gathering. So I cannot, like right now, they have no plans for a headset that has eye tracking. If you get rid of the Quest Pro, if there's no Quest Pro line, there's no eye tracking. And I guarantee you right now, that Meta is not going to say give up on eye tracking, because we know the Quest 3 is not going to come with eye tracking. So in somewhere, you know, whether they call it a Quest Pro or whether they call it a Quest 3 Pro or wherever, whatever they decide to call it, there will be a headset with eye tracking that is going to be coming soon.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely, completely agree with that. Yeah.
Let me ask this. What would the argument be to buy a Quest Pro over a Quest 3?
Just not fine. Using it, I have no idea. It's the best display I've ever used right now. The controllers,
yeah. But can you buy those separate, or are they going to discontinue those?
You can buy them separate now, and I can't see why you wouldn't. They wouldn't continue. They're amazing, right?
Controllers, face tracking, eye tracking. Those are the three biggest things I can think of that would be different between the Quest 3 and this. We don't know anything about PC VR hookup and compression, whether it would be any better or worse, because they haven't really talked about that, but whether it would be a better PC VR headset. But I think those LCD, are the three biggest.
Quest 3 is LCD versus QLED, right? That's got to make a difference for PC VR.
I really think they're not interested in PC VR.
But I think that makes a difference for PC VR gamers of why you want a Quest Pro over a Quest 3.
Yeah, I just don't. I just think that's so not part of their agenda now. It's massively not part of their agenda. But yeah, I want eye tracking.
Yeah,
Eye tracking is amazing, dude. And especially now that I've gotten a taste of what it can do to gameplay in Synapse, I cannot wait for more. Like, I hope a lot of developers are working on games that have super awesome eye tracking implementations.
I was going to say that, Brad, you haven't played Synapse, have you? You haven't experienced that game.
I'm not. Nope.
That is a shame. That is a shame.
There's one thing I mentioned on the eye tracking, even for the Quest Pro, is even though, you know, the PC platform is pretty much abandoned by Meta, there's still a lot of amazing work done by a lot of the open source community. And a big thing that happened recently is there's a new translation layer for turning the Quest Pro eye tracking to do something called quad view rendering for eye tracking, which literally can get you to 50 to 100% better performance on PC.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, and it doesn't work for many games, but it works for, I believe, Pavlov, and I want to say DCS World, and maybe one more, but it's like insane boosts to performance using this method.
Sounds good.
How does that work? What does it do exactly? Do you know much about how?
I don't want to say because I don't know it fully. I didn't look too much into it. It's the same system that Vario tries to push onto people though with their rendering system, but yeah, it's on Quest Pro now as well.
That sounds pretty intriguing. I wonder if Meta's looking at that going, interesting.
Yeah, they got to keep an eye on the Reddit communities. They must probably pay some. Well, hopefully they'd pay someone just to sit there and try and pick up all this stuff, you know, that the community are doing. $10 super chat from Gravity. Welcome. Thank you ever so much. Which comes first? High fidelity haptic suits, gloves, and VR treadmills like Ready Player One? Or direct brain interfaces which stimulate senses while you lay like a mobile, like in the Matrix?
That's a really good question, definitely, in my opinion. Because trying to replicate feeling through haptics is hard. It is super, super hard. Like, we are amazing machines, and our ability to like interface with regular reality is phenomenal. It's incredible. Like, if I run my finger across the top of a table, I can tell as soon as it hits a grain of sand, you know, which is like super tiny, but it's like quite tactile and very, very present. So getting to that level of fidelity, like life fidelity with haptics and treadmills and stuff like that, is going to be an uphill battle. It is really, really tough to do.
But you know what else is super hard? Not my mom. Oh. You know what's super hard is tapping into our nervous system and tapping into our brain and taking over the part that it's able to produce images. And so I think both are an uphill battle, and I do think we'll get there. I don't think it'll be in our lifetime, honestly. It's just too much. Like, we're still in the dark ages when it comes to medical stuff. We just don't understand the body as well as we want to and we hope to. And someday we will, and then someday we'll be able to do those things. But I think right now we're going to continue down the road of haptic suits and gloves and all of that stuff, and get as good as we can.
Yeah, because all that stuff does exist in one way or another, like the top version, you know, haptic suits, gloves, VR treadmills, I guess a mix of... What was the stuff we talked about a month ago or more, Skiv, that you experienced, and it looked like it was...
Oh, man.
The patches, and it had loads of...
So cool.
Those microfluidic haptics.
Yeah, they were awesome.
Oh, that... When I saw that looked like what should be a haptic suit.
It should be, and they said they can make it into one. You know, that what they were showing there was just an example of one way to use it and a way to bring it into just your fingertips. But they said, we can make shirts out of this. We can make full suits. We can do anything. We just have to do it. You know,
do you remember how it worked? Do you remember what it was?
Yeah. So there was fluid inside, a small amount of fluid inside, and each one of those little teeny tiny little cylinders, it was able to push, like electrically stimulate it and push it through, and make bigger or very, very tiny little.
It was like watching someone have goosebumps.
It was so
yeah.
That's what it looked like someone having goosebumps up and down their arm, kind of thing. I'd never really seen anything like it, but when I saw it, I kind of felt like that's what I imagined it would be like on the inside of a haptic suit one day.
I gotta tell you, I ran around that place and I wasn't as excited about anything there as I was for that. Like, I felt like that had the most potential. Now those guys, right? They are, you know, they're not in a place where they can start mass producing this and start making all this cool stuff. But if the right investors come along and the right, or someone buys that technology, you know, they said it was super cheap to produce too.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean,
think about non VR stuff for that. That's going to be there. They had it in working where you could see it like in a, like on a laptop screen where it would raise the surface of the laptop screen. Think about your desk and you had a mouse pad on your desk, and instead of having a big clunky keyboard, the keys just popped up out of your desktop pad. And then you had, you know, physical touching things that you could push down and compress and type just without having anything, you know, clunky. Like the typical keyboard is going to be like a dinosaur within a year or two, I think, with this type of technology.
I mean, it's insane how long we've been using keyboard and mouse, like without a lot of like dramatic improvements. Like, all the improvements are to like ergonomics, form factor, noise, but like at the end of the day, like I'm typing on the same keyboard that I typed on when I was a child on my first Macintosh PC, which I find very interesting. But in terms of like haptics and like this being a solution for haptics in the future, I 100% agree. But one thing that I think kind of doesn't get talked about enough is the fact that like different haptics are going to be needed for different experiences, you know, like that microfluidic thing is perfect for the the yin surface or the under surface of your hand, because then if you're like putting your hand across the top of something, if I run across my keyboard, I, you know, the microfluidics could emulate the keys running underneath my fingers and all of that. But then when I pick up a machine gun and I start raveling off 50 caliber rounds and stuff, like that's gonna need something else, you know, like
kick.
Yeah, it's going to need something else, you know. And, you know, PD made a really good point about like knowing the texture of something, like using your tongue, you know, like that's literally like the way we interface with the world for like the first couple of years that we're alive. We just put everything in our mouths. We're like, okay, yeah, that feels like this, that's this, that's that. And we learn a lot about our surroundings by using our tongue as a young baby and an infant, you know, and even as an adult. Hey, hey, hey.
You know who else likes to put everything in their mouth?
See, I've been holding them in for 30 minutes now.
You can't hold them in.
You know, hold them in, dude. You know, hold them in. Did you guys ever hear of this thing, NextMind? Did you ever see that?
Oh, yeah.
NextMind.
Yeah. I just, when you're talking about your keyboard and mouse, I remember the first time I used this device and controlled a video game with my mind, and it was so weird because I don't think I could control the character, but I could control what happened in the world to the character, kind of thing. Like if I needed a block to move or I needed to lift him up to do something, there was like a mixture of all different demos, but it was such a weird feeling to like look at something and make it happen without doing anything. It's a very, very weird experience to have, especially in the games.
Yeah, and reading those types of waves that come from your brain and then translating them into something is one thing, but putting data in to your brain is completely different, right? I mean, the best way to do this is our body has the most insane wiring structure that there is. If we could harness that for haptics, that would be absolutely nuts, right? And it could work because it works in dreams. You know, when I touch things in a dream, I feel it. I feel heat. I feel cold. I you know, I feel myself walking even though I'm not, you know, so that's definitely the way to go someday.
The level of trust, though, that I, yeah, for someone to be fucking around in my brain, you know, like my immediate thought to that is no. Like, maybe I'll go with all sorts of other ways, but like, I just don't trust anybody.
Maybe there's a way. Maybe there's a way we could soft mod it. You know, like you like, and there's like a hidden like magical phrase or something that if you say it a bunch of times, it like unlocks. You know, or like you can get hypnotized or something. It
sounds like a Total Recall kind of scenario that you could.
I love Total Recall so much.
Oh yeah,
that's what Root said about it. Like, imagine it all went wrong. You know, like
right. Well, and that's the thing is like things always go wrong. And there's hacks, and I'm not saying that the technology wouldn't be amazing at some point. I'd rather, I mean, of course, this is a completely different technology, but give me a holodeck where I can go in and everything is real to the touch because it's really in front of me. I'd rather do that than put something in my brain, you know?
Do you know, like, you know, when you talk about the eight, well, I'm going to talk about this, the eight, when you go into like this scenario of having thoughts and total recall kind of thing, doing another life, I wonder how long the brain could live for. Like, what decomposes first, the body or the brain? Do you think it's the same at the same time? Because I was kind of thinking, like, imagine if you live some lifetimes, like, with not doing anything, you know, in like in a short space of time, what would happen? Would your brain be like, yeah, I'm too tired now, like I'm fucked. You had too many lifetimes, too many different experiences and memories. I don't know. Just wondering.
Well, I mean, that's a can of worms.
Because now you're assuming that. You can only do something in actual time like you experience it now. If you were able to put those things in your brain, you might be able to live 50 lifetimes simultaneously.
That's what I was saying would be, yeah, I think would be the case, is that your brain would live longer than your body, you know?
Yeah. Well, time is completely relative, and experience related to time is completely relative. So yeah, it's like really interesting to like talk about like, I don't know, time passing when in this conversation. By the way, Brad, this is all pretty fringe. Do you have any thoughts about this kind of stuff, BCI, manifesting realities and matrix and all this kind of stuff?
I think this was kind of touched on, but reading the brain way easier than writing to the brain at this point. And you know, there's a lot of companies out there that are looking to writing to the brain. Even Gabe Newell has his own company working on that. I think people will be shocked that, like, everyone's obsessed with, like, Sword Art Online, like, plugging your brain into a game and then just turning your real body off, and then you'll just imagine everything in your brain. I think people will be very surprised how powerful it would be to just have read-only, not non-invasive read-only sensors, and having gameplay change based on just that input alone. I don't think you actually need to write to your brain for some of these more amazing experiences.
Right, like maybe biometrics could be fed into AI procedurally generated content. And there you go. Like, the AI is writing and creating the content, your biometric data, the information about what's happening to you going into that, and then, you know, it reacting based off of the information that it's getting. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. It's like how you would talk about like VR could be better than psychedelics in some way. I think if you like have two very realistic screens in front of your eyes and then kind of tap into all the different sensors that your skin gives off, hormones and sweats different ways, your heart rate, eye tracking is a huge BCI element, by the way. All those things together can like modulate the screen and what you're looking at and do enough maybe damage in some cases, but also do a lot of good for you as well.
I'm still
I really think that by the time a lot of us are in our 80s, there might be BCI headsets that are focused on making our Alzheimer's a bit better.
That'd be so good.
Yeah. I'm more interested in, you know, immortality than I think BCI brain control interface. I'm more thinking about uploading somebody's, you know, consciousness to, you know, into a computer and seeing if that's ever even possible. You know that people are working on this right now. Like, literally, there are people working on this right now.
Oh, for sure. The question here becomes, will we imprison ourselves?
Right.
I mean, like this, are we in some kind of a game? Is there something afterwards? And if there is, if we stick ourselves here, that could be terrible.
Are you saying like if there's a heaven or a hell, for example, and you put yourself in a computer, then you're going to miss that. And you're going to just be stuck in a computer that someone could turn off. Is that what you're saying?
Sure. Heaven, hell, another reality. What if we're wearing a headset somewhere on the other side? There's like a million billion different things.
Oh,
that
no.
could be, And if you don't ever die, you could be in, you could be, who knows? But on the other hand, maybe there isn't. And that could be cool. But I don't know, man. You know, there's definitely going to be, before we see that, we're absolutely, and we already do see AI algorithms that are able to look at any video you've ever shot, any pictures you've ever taken, every way you've ever responded to everything, that will mimic you when you die,
right,
taking your voice, you know, simulating you, where when you leave, you're, you know, here, your kids could go and have a conversation with you.
I can't
get something that could be possibly accurate to how maybe you would have with all of your life's, you know.
Such a bad idea, right, GT?
It's not that. I've had so many. I feel like I lived a lifetime before I did this. And there's so many different experiences I've had that I don't need to share, or they don't even matter now, you know. But they all happened. And I know in some way that they shaped me. And
right,
just by going by the thing, by the things you're talking about, that can't be done. It can't be added. They could make it up. They could ask my life story and pretend that those scenarios played out in a similar way to get close. But without me telling anyone every single event that I kind of remember that mattered.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but that's the thing, is like, how would you know anyway? How many? Okay, say this scenario is there and people are lining up to go live forever. And it, your mom, your dad, whoever, your brother, and they just fucking die, and this AI mimics them, and it's not really them, it's just the AI that's so smart and has so many data points that they can, and they can mimic the voice, and they have so much knowledge of that person that people will believe that it's them. I don't know. To me, I just, that whole scenario is creepy as well. You
would
know,
companies sell cosmetics for your dead relative microtransactions.
Probably.
Right? All oh I know God. Is if that technology exists, something bad will be done with it before something wholesome.
All right.
But listen, so right now, you are absolutely right, GT. No computer right now can take what's happened to you in the past and understand how you felt about it, what you did about it. But here's the thing. Right, it's all data points. You can do a lot with data, as we've seen with a lot of different companies. But later on, everyone will always have something recording. Everything, everyone will have wearing some kind of device, like an Apple Watch or something that has EKG, something that will take biometric data, and all of that will be recorded. So as we go further, maybe your kids, probably your kids, but maybe their kids, right? They will be able to accurately represent you and take the feelings, everything that's happened to your body when you experience something. It will all be recorded. It will all be set data points, and that AI will get really, really, really good, right? Right now, we're in like the Pong version of this, right? But they're still doing it. Like, they're still actually doing that, which is nuts. Right. So it's just going to get better. And then once this AI has everything that makes you you, it has all your life experiences, all those data points, all your biometric data and how you reacted and how your body reacted and whether, you know, like at what point does it become so close that it is?
It can replace you. Yeah. Doesn't you? Don't, yeah. They don't need you anymore, GT.
So I mean, that
why are you picking on me, Bruce?
This is a mess.
Why are you picking on me?
It's a mess.
Who wants to get rid of me?
Who regulates all this?
GT.
Oh, that's a lot of information. Like, the amount of information that AI would need would be staggering. It would literally need to know, be monitoring you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
And all of this stuff already is.
Well, no, I don't think so. Because, like, right now, like, if we were, and I know we're talking about tomorrow, but if today you were going to attempt to make an AI out of me, you would be going through, like, all the podcast episodes that I've done and all the live streams that I've done and, you know, maybe some, like, music recordings and stuff like that. Social media posts, sure. But it doesn't see me being a useless piece of shit on my couch all weekend. You know what I mean?
Your EKG and your Apple Watch might. I mean, I know you'd.
But I don't know. I just don't know if there's going to be enough of that information gathering. I mean, I guess the technology will exist for that to be possible. I will not argue about that. But whether or not it happens, I'm still skeptical because I don't know if people will agree to have all of their data like that.
They do right
now. They already do. Yeah, we're already doing it right now.
Google, Microsoft.
not to the level we're talking about, though.
No, this is a slippery slope where people don't give a crap about their privacy. And right now, everyone says, if I have nothing to hide, why should I hide it? Everyone can have everything as long as what I'm doing is discounted or free. There is almost no so you're setting a whole generation that's being brought up today to already accept that this is where privacy is right now. By the time that is the norm, they'll have no problem clicking the little agree button. We've already set the precedents, and this is why I'm always yelling about privacy and why people should care, and people can make a difference and change can happen. But right now we're just on a path where absolutely everyone will give all that up. I guarantee you, until something huge and critical happens where this bites us in the ass before we get to that point, that's going to be a thing. Promise you.
I just clicked on the thing and accepted it recently, and I didn't read it. I was like, I don't know what this says. I need to get past this to do what I'm trying to do. Yes.
Except. Have you guys read Ready Player 2?
Yes.
This reminds me, like, this conversation and what happened in Ready Player 2, and not exactly what we're talking about, but very similar, and feels a lot like that book. And I love when there's crossovers between
fiction. There's also a really good episode of Black Mirror where a woman like loses her husband or boyfriend or fiance or whatever and gets like an AI replicant that they say like, oh no, he this is him. You know, we got all of his information for his whole life. This is him. And, you know, knowing Black Mirror, it always kind of shows like the dark opportunities, you know, or like the negative possible consequences for these kinds of things. And she's like having conversations with the dude, and yes, he's responding in the way that he typically would have responded, but she's like going insane because it's just missing that element that made him human, you know. And she can tell, and she's like, no, I just want you to like get upset, you know, like you're just like and she just like is like pulling her hair out because it's like close but almost like uncanny valley kind of close, you know. And like not just this, just not it, you know, like there's something missing. It still isn't you.
That can't be healthy. You're supposed to grieve, right? And there are companies out there, AI companies, that are talking about doing exactly this, you know. Give us your memories of your loved one and you'll be able to chat with them. And like, it's just such a, you can see it on the horizon, and it's just a bad idea. I think it's going to really mess with a lot of people, because people come and people go, and that's the way life's supposed to be. And now you're holding on to this like fake version of them.
Yeah.
And
y'all need to start taking privacy seriously now.
Agreed.
I really want to see my own, I don't really want to see my dreams. I'm really upset that I don't, there's still no way at the moment to just go, what did I dream about last night? And just watch it like a little video. I'd like that. That's all this AI crap.
I think it might horrify us. We look at what the fuck was I dreaming last night? Oh my God.
It's so interesting because like the images in your dreams are not perceived in the same way that like looking at an image in your day-to-day life is, you know, like it wouldn't, like you take away memories of the experience. You know, you say, oh, yesterday I was on the Wienermobile and we were at the Grand Canyon and, you know, everybody was eating mint chocolate chip ice cream cones. But like,
that sounds great.
That's just your memory of the dream. But if it was to like actually, like, you can't put that onto a display, right? Like,
have you guys ever loved to see that dream though, that'd be amazing. Yeah. Have you guys ever recorded I don't know. Well, you have to talk in your sleep. I talk a lot in my sleep, and my wife would record it, and I started taking them to work to play to people because they were like stories. Like, I was the detective investigating some blue shit that was fucking appearing everywhere and God knows what else, you know. It's just rambling bollocks and everyone found it funny. But yeah, I would like to have seen that, you know. Sometimes you wake up and you're like, you might have an idea. That's something I've realized actually about, especially now I'm like doing stuff with video games, and whenever I have an idea about something, I write it down as soon as possible, because if I leave it even like 1 or 2 minutes, for some reason it just fades away and I'm like, oh, what was that? What was that dream I had? What was that vision? So
it fades away because your body has a very amazing, your body's amazing.
Thank you. Thank you, Skipper. Thank you.
It eats away all that stuff. It eats away the DMT that your body releases when you dream, right? Like, your body doses you with DMT, you dream, and then all of this stuff comes out and it destroys the DMT almost immediately. That's why if you smoke DMT where you take DMT, your body is so proficient at getting rid of it and then removing the memories behind it. We are constantly being dosed with hallucinogenics, the most powerful hallucinogenics known to man. And then our body is super proficient with getting rid of it because we produce it naturally in our brains. It's all super crazy and fascinating. And I love it. This is very much a Between Realities episode.
It really is. I was just looking for Anthony. I was like, fuck, man, where is he?
It's a great topic. I mean, there's people in chat, like, you know, Thomas McNostril and Michelle B, who, you know, they lost their spouse, you know, recently, and with one and a few years with the other. But I'm sure it never gets easier with these things. And could you imagine, you know, if you could talk to them and hear their voice perfectly, and, you know, maybe it's not, you know, exactly one-to-one, but if you could have a conversation every day and at least not feel alone. There's a lot of people out there that don't have a lot of other people in their lives. You know what I mean? And a spouse could be somebody that you go your whole life with and it's your best friend. And then all of a sudden they pass or they're gone. You have nobody else for the rest of your life. There are people that die soon after they lose a spouse because they have nothing to kind of move forward, live for. I mean, a lot of us are lucky because we have families and we have friends and we have relationships other than that, but there's a lot of lonely people in this world. And if you could give somebody a chance to speak to that loved one, I just lost my mother last year. If you told me I could talk to her today and I could talk to her and she could talk to me like she talked to me in, you know, in real life, I mean, that could have a profound effect on somebody's life moving forward. I mean, that could take a lot of loneliness and a lot of fear out of people.
I really don't want to put a downer on this beautiful image because I've lost people and I do feel what you're saying. But I still think that what if the tech doesn't do it right? How would you walk away from that feeling or that experience knowing that you possibly could have talked to someone that, and then you're looking at them and it feels like they're there, and but it's not them. I don't know if I could. Like, you know, I remember when my granddad died, I was in the hospital with him. For some reason, no one else was there. It was like 3 a.m. and he was choking and he was grabbing at me and all these different things were happening. And I remember like knowing he wouldn't have wanted me to see him like that at the end. Like he wouldn't have wanted that. You know, he wanted that nice, that last image, you know. And I kind of, and when you're talking about this, I kind of thought, oh yeah, maybe I could have, because it was so many years ago now, I kind of maybe could have seen him again as now I have the other memories, but I have that memory. And that's something I'd like to erase with seeing another new memory of him. But it wouldn't be him. And that's kind of like, it's just weird. The whole thing's like.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting because like, I really do believe that memory is at the core of all of this, you know, right. Like it's like, if you think about like a past relationship, for example, like you might think about someone who you were just utterly in love with and the two of you were in love and it was so intense and it was so exciting, and then something happened where you guys had to split up and now you no longer have this person in your life. Maybe they're not dead, but they are still out there somewhere, and you like know deep in your heart that like you had all of these loving, amazing memories with this person. I've had my own personal experiences in my life where there was something like that happening, and then I go and see that person again like some years later and they're not who they were anymore. You know, like it's the memory that I cherish, not the person. It's how I felt when I was with that person, not actually them. You know what I mean? So I just think that that's an important distinction here. It's like, it's your memory. It's the experience that you remember with those people and how you felt during that time that you're valuing more so than them actually. Right. And I think the AI tries to replicate the them actually and give it to you. But, and you know, to your point, I guess you like maybe try to make a new memory so you can have something else to hold on to. But at the end of the day, they're not here anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I like your point though. Think about it. If it's not a person who's deceased, and then you like, it was a crush that you had or an infatuation. And all of a sudden can you take somebody else's personality and likeness and make a, you know, an AI consciousness that you can have a relationship with? And you're like, dude, where does that cross the line?
That's the beginning of a serial killer movie.
This can open up so many crazy scenarios but you know, you have to assume that we will all have to make these decisions at some point, because I think we all agree the technology will come. It's just whether we think it morally should be here or not, or you know, or ethically or legally.
How many of you know what the holodeck is from Star Trek? You know what that is? Okay, cool. Do you ever remember the one in The Next Generation where Geordi LaForge needs to fix the engine, right? And he can't do it. So what he does is he uses the holodeck and he basically works with the girl who helped make the engine in the first place, right, to get over this problem. And he falls in love with her. And funny enough, the AI kind of responds to it and they kind of fall in love virtually. And anyway, when he meets her, she's fucking awful as a real person, you know? And and I remember that as a kid. I was like, that's so weird. You know, I remember just remembering that episode.
You know what's funny is, you know, me and Alex talked to someone at Somnium Space years ago in their first season in Between Realities. And this is something they are trying to do now. But they want to have an add-on service where for X amount of money, they can record all of this data, your biometric data, your hand movement data, everything you say, everything you do, every interaction you have to bring you back in virtual reality. To loved ones and stuff, right? So this is something you may think this isn't very related to what you know, to VR and all this stuff, but this is stuff that VR companies are getting into, you know, bringing you back within virtual reality. You know, and then there's haptics and there's all kinds of things, right? You know, so this is happening. This is happening.
I was gonna say, do you remember the mum that met her daughter in VR? Do you remember that?
Yeah,
and that was the one that kind of went viral, didn't it? I don't know how real it was, or it was just the same clip in like a mixed reality scenario. She was wearing a Vive. I don't know much else from that. If it was real, I don't know.
Yeah, I think what it was is it was a they kind of pre-made the experience and they pre-animated the girl, and it was just a way for her to get closure and say goodbye, right? But a lot of we as people have a very hard time disconnecting from the people that we love, whether we get a divorce, someone dies, we just break up with someone. We don't want to disconnect sometimes. The people that don't want to, genuinely don't want to. I, you know, part of the concern here too is that this could be very damaging,
right,
psychologically to people too, where maybe they don't let new, you know, sometimes when a door closes, another door opens, and you, because you break off one relationship with someone due to death or whatever, now you meet someone new and your life evolves and you have new experiences and you continue to keep experiencing all these things. But if you are able to sit every night and hang out with your dead spouse in VR and just hang out with them, and you know, and that algorithm is going based off of that person's prior life and the data that they have on them, we might be staggering our evolution as people as well, and the things that we're able to experience in this life. Because change is hard. And I can't say for a fact that, you know, if I lost someone, you know, like my kid or something, right, that I wouldn't fall directly into that because it's just so terrible, right?
And so devastating.
Hang on.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So these are things that the future generations are going to have to deal with. And that's scary, right? For the good or the bad. This is like real. This is stuff that's going to happen.
So I've kind of started to take this stance of like, fuck it a little bit because that's not to say that we should do things without being careful or trying to prevent negative consequences. But like humans have this very strong, what I'm going to call natural desire to connect intimately with technology. Like you hand a phone to a baby and they are gonna freak out. They are going to love that thing. They're a baby, but they're still just gonna be like, they're gonna be jamming on that thing, scrolling before you know it, they're taking selfies. You know what I mean? So like, I don't think we should give phones to babies because I think there is evidence that it is not good for their developmental years to be like completely immersed in technology all the time. But I do think that we are supposed to be connected to technology. Like there's a part of us that I think it's a part of being human to want to connect with these things in the year 2023. So I almost want to just say like, yo, like this is the natural order of things, because guess what? It's happening. Like if it wasn't the natural order of things, then we wouldn't be experiencing it. But here we are having the human experience and all of this stuff is popping up. So like, you know, yes, we should be careful, but I don't know how much of it I'm planning on like resisting, because I do feel like it's the natural progression of our experience.
Yeah. And I don't think I would resist it. I would just be careful. I would just try to put the message out there that people should be very careful about the information that they give up now, because as insignificant as it is now, this stuff is there forever, and all of this stuff is happening. And it's going to be very different generations from now. You know, when you go and you do like a family tree right now and you go back on ancestry.com or something, that's something now. But later when you can go on and talk to your great, 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 great grandmother and have some like actual conversation with someone that isn't there anymore and ask them, what was it like during those times? And all that, like, this stuff is all going to be recorded and it's going to be there. So, you know, it's good to just be careful about what you divulge. Because when you are gone, you do not have any say over any of that anymore. So,
so are you saying Bruce Willis shouldn't have sold his likeness to AR? Okay.
Or like, to me, it's almost like, it's like telling people to like be careful. Like, I can imagine when like reading and writing was invented, that there was a similar conversation being had. You know, someone being like, hey, be careful what you scribe on that piece of paper, because once you're gone, you won't be able to control who reads that or what they think about it. You know what I mean? But reading and writing has been an essential part of our development as a species. You know, like, it's been the primary way that we've been able to take our thoughts and translate them into a way that other people can understand directly. Like, if you read a page from an author, you are inside their brain 100 million percent.
But now imagine that you cannot control what you write on that paper. And every little deep, dark secret and everything you're feeling that you want to keep inside, that you have the chance not to write down on that paper, is taken and captured from you and recorded in a computer that backups are happening and cloud syncs are happening, and that's there forever. So there's a very big difference, although it is kind of in the same field. It's definitely, you know, much, much greater because those authors did get to very carefully choose on what they wrote.
True that.
Wow.
This was a kick-ass conversation, I have to tell you. Like, I don't know.
That's an hour and 10 minutes of mental.
Dude, it was profound. Like Skiva said, this is the kind of stuff that he and I personally like to get into as often as possible. Because while it can, like, if you tune into the middle of this conversation, you might be thinking to yourself, like, what the fuck does this have to do with virtual reality? But... it really does. Like, we got here naturally, you know, like the way that this tech is evolving and the way that it's integrating with all of these other evolving technologies makes this conversation a legitimate one, because AI and XR and all of this stuff blending and becoming one thing is going to have a pretty profound impact.
Yeah, it's just the next step. It's the you know, the version one of interfacing with the mind that's going to be happening in a much more seamless way in over the next few decades, you know?
Yep.
Yeah. I still find things like when I do go into VR chat or social platforms, when I meet people in there, I feel like I'm meeting people in there, you know?
You are.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah. Uh-huh.
It's just in virtual space, but it feels... very real in some ways.
VR even breaks, this dude.
Yeah, VR
even
VR
a Zoom call.
Space, you know, there's all this physical space between us, but VR doesn't care about that. We can very much sit in the same room and feel like we're sharing virtual space, high five, get some haptics, and interact with each other, explore with each other, learn about each other, connect in a way that is very hard to do by sitting there on text or a phone call. Learn people's mannerisms and what they're really like, and get to know people more than you think is even possible by entering a VR experience with them. Things like VR chat, Neos, and all of these things they're amazing at connecting people, and I think it's absolutely the evolution of how we're going to connect in the future.
Is there a decent like avatar creator out there? And I mean, like, one that actually makes you look like you in VR chat, for example? Because in my mind, I would love us to have a VR crewcast Christmas party. Just with all the viewers and stuff, you know, something like that would be so
that
cool.
That would be cool.
But I would kind of want us to look like ourselves somehow, if possible. I don't know.
I mean, you can always commission it, which costs money and time. And then, you know, I know you know about Ready Player Me.
Have I lost everyone?
No,
not everyone.
Oh, I've lost Skiba.
Just Alex froze, I think.
And Skiba.
I'm here.
Oh, and Skiba, yeah.
Oh,
did Phoenix just drop off the map?
You're back, Alex.
Did we freeze?
You said about Ready Player Me.
What happened?
Something's going on in Phoenix.
Alex is back, but is it really Alex?
Oh, it's the AI. Oh my God.
All the internet lines are melting in the ground right now.
I know, right?
I saw Barbie at the theater yesterday.
Me too.
And that's pretty cool. This is my story, though.
Oh.
So.
Big shout out to Snowtoe. Big shout out to Snowtoe.
Freaking Barbie. Everybody that's probably more interesting than any story you have.
Sorry. Yeah. So anyway, I saw Barbie yesterday. And 5 minutes into the movie, screen shuts off, audio is still playing through the speakers. Everybody's like, what the hell's going on? Lights start flashing inside the theaters. It was super wild. The audio played for like 5 minutes with no video, and then they ended up shutting it down and booting everything back up. And they also canceled a Disturbed concert like yesterday or the day before and had to postpone it because their electrical I think the heat is just like destroying equipment. It's just ruining everybody's stuff, and like air conditioning machines are just like blasting everybody's at all day. Times. Yeah, well, we're literally like spitting in the face of Mother Nature by existing here. It's like 100. It's literally over 110 degrees, and we're just
like
how
you say that. It's like there's certain places on the earth that we've decided to set up shop, and then we're shocked that it's like, oh my God, it's 120 here.
I know.
Like, well, it's a fucking desert, dude. You know?
Yeah, we should not be here.
Mash, what was that company we met with that does the super realistic avatars where you scan yourself with an iPhone? And Alex, me and you did one at AWE a couple years ago where you just scan it and it makes a pretty convincing version of you.
It was really good, actually. Yeah. And remember? And it gives you like it spits out an avatar fast.
Yeah.
It was called In3D.
In3D.
Yep.
They changed names recently.
They did.
Oh, do they? I still have the old app on my phone.
Yeah, forget it. I love the name. I'm typing the name. So we didn't talk about the other end of it because I saw some, I don't know if what it was on an article or if it was like the face of, I think it was an article, and it was talking about the walking treadmills and shit, the new ones. And I saw the people and they were connected. And I just thought about the fucking friction. And like, I still think the treadmill is just a gimmick. I don't think it's ever going anywhere. It's great that people want it to go somewhere, and for some people it could, but there's not the mass adoption of this lazy fucking planet is just it just doesn't sound feasible to me. Right, does anybody else agree or disagree? Because that to me is just
it's weird timing you say this because Kat's about to announce a new treadmill tomorrow.
Yeah, well, maybe that was the picture.
Are
I
they
saw.
Really?
It's just friction, man, and I don't want to walk for 5 hours in games. You know what I mean? Locomotion is amazing. It's created for a reason. I think some people would love to in some reasons, but I just think it, I don't know.
I think there could be some really cool like arcade experiences maybe that you could run around on a treadmill, but I don't know. I don't know. I've been off of one of the ones you're talking about, Eric, and I'm still on the fence.
Yeah, I don't want them. I don't want one. Like they're too big, they're too bulky. You can't move it out of the way. There's no way. So my favorite is still the cyber shoes, believe it or not, because I put them on my feet. I sit down and I can, you know, get a little bit of exercise, burn some carbs, and then take them off when I don't want to use them anymore. Or start using my thumb stick. When you're strapped into a treadmill, it's a whole thing, man. What a pain in the butt. But I do think there is a space for both, because sometimes I want to get exercise and it's 120 degrees outside,
right?
It's Celsius, right? Like I don't want to go out and do that, but sometimes I'm like, oh, I really want to get some exercise and I don't want to go to the gym and like, you know, and deal with what's happening in there either. So like it would be really cool. And I've done this with cyber shoes, like, you know, take a spaceship to a planet, no man's sky, and go hike up a mountain, burn a couple hundred calories while I'm playing a video game if I want to, and then go off and switch it off when I want to. I think that'd be great, but I think that putting a 150 pound treadmill in your living room is probably not the way to go.
Arcades, I think it'd be great for arcades, though, right? Like you were saying. Yeah. And
that's who gets most of that business. So.
I feel like I want to show Michelle my calf muscles. I've got good calf muscles.
Oh, dude, J-Bar's in the chat, and he says, you guys got to get me on one of these so I can argue my point for VR treadmills, because he's on a VR treadmill for, like, every single live stream.
Every stream. He doesn't stream without it.
Yeah. I mean,
go check it out.
I personally am also not for treadmills. I see it as a lot of friction. I don't find the movement to be natural or intuitive. So it kind of like defeats the purpose for me a little bit.
I was going to say, that's the bit I heard. Like the guy was describing it, like you sort of walk forward and then you have to bring your foot back to the center or something and move it.
Yeah.
Again. Like, there's something that didn't sound as I expected it. So I'm
You're always accommodating the treadmill rather than just moving. And
why?
I could...
Why is that? What? What's the
because
reason?
The technology isn't there yet, oh, especially at a cost that they can make people pay for. Like, I bet you if NASA spent as much money as they possibly could on the best possible VR treadmill to ever exist,
awesome.
That they would crush it.
Yeah.
Because they could probably attach like the speed that you're moving in game to this like amazing moving platform. And like if I skip, for example, like it would compensate for that. It would like move. And then when I hit the ground, it like won't make me trip and fall, you know, like there's so many things that I can imagine would make this hard to do.
It's exactly right, though. It's body weight. The body weight of what your body weighs on a treadmill trying to suspend, you need to be suspended in some way. Like when they get to the point where you can take some of your body weight, say they took half your body weight off of you and you could actually just kind of like, you know, you move your feet like and not have to actually physically, and then you can move easier because nobody wants to do that. Like we can't, like you can't run in VR just like you would in normal life because we're not built that way. You know what I mean? The things that we do in VR are, you know, you're not normal. You know what I mean? You can't run across the field. You can't do that. You just physically can't do that. But if they took the weight off of it, you know, think about like Ready Player One, where he's suspended by a pulley system where most of the weight is off of his body and he's on a treadmill where he can move, you know, in omni direction. You know what I mean? So that's what, to me, it's not the way it's set up now. It's that there's too much weight of your own body on it. You need to get your weight off of you in some way. And once they do that, I think you'll have a better chance.
You just made me think, is there a weight limit to these?
Yes.
Soon there has to be, yeah.
Height and weight limit, yes.
Right, okay. What do we know what it is?
So there's multiple versions. There is the arcade version that has a higher weight and a taller.
I didn't even think about that. Let me have a
look.
They haven't mentioned it to me in emails, and I haven't mentioned it.
And a lot of them you have to have special shoes. They're not going to have size 16s. You know what I mean?
Steven's really got to get a special shoe.
Can I use my socks or something? I guess if it works that way. But yeah, there's definitely a lot of issues for taller, bigger people. So
where do you find this information? Because I'm on the website and it doesn't seem to mention anything about a limit.
Let's see.
Everything has a weight limit.
What you're describing, Mash, is, I mean, and I'm sure at some point, like the Ready Player One point, is that's a big commitment to get all suited up and get in this, it's, you know, where you're suspended and I got it.
It's just a pulley system, you know. Yeah. You have to work some kind of pulley system out to where you could, you know, like you do for your, you know, for rigging your cords. You just would have to have something that would hold your weight to where you could actually take some of that weight off of, you know. So say you weigh 250 pounds, if you could get yourself down to half that weight, think about if you took 150 pounds off yourself, how fast you could run. You know what I mean? Think about it this way and how much easier it would be. That's what you would need for a treadmill, because I think you're right, Roots. It's too much work for somebody to want to do in a video game. And once you make it easier to where you can run twice as fast or three times as fast, or you don't lose your breath, or, you know, it's easy to move around, then it gets to the point where it's something you'd want to do.
Right. And maybe it'd be different for other people. I just, for my job, I'm walking all day long. And you know what I mean? So by the end of the day, last thing I want to do is jump on a treadmill and start fucking running somewhere for my game for 5 hours. You know what I mean? I want to just do what I've always done and
The whole idea in VR is we don't want to be us. Like, I don't want to be normal. Like, I want to be like superhuman, right? I want to be something special. I want to be able to run faster than
you're
I can
special,
run.
Special, Eric.
Oh, thanks, PT. I appreciate it.
I was going to say,
I want to be able to do things that I can't do in normal life. Otherwise, I'd go outside and do them. And I want to be able to do things that aren't, you know, not normal. I want to be able to run three times as fast and run up a hill and not have to be out of breath. And you
that's
can't
just
do
age.
That.
That's
normally.
Just age.
Well, that's
Eric,
true. You know, that's true. So, so you're all set then.
So I feel like Brett Leonard, the writer and director of Lawnmower Man, may have nailed it the closest to what it should be, but it's a giant contraption, right? I don't know if you guys remember the movie Lawnmower Man, but they hooked them up to these, they suspended you in the middle of a two-ring system where you could move your arms and hands freely. You could spin, you could fly, you could lay down, you could like do all of this kind of in an anti-gravity way where it was not as big of a blow to your body. But we haven't seen anything like that, which is pretty wild. I would love to see the Lawnmower Man way of locomotion.
Do you know what? I haven't seen that film.
There's someone making something like that. Actually, I forget the name of the company, but I spoke to them before CES.
Really?
And they said they weren't coming to this past CES, but they were looking at maybe showing up at the next one.
That would be sick. I'm in.
Yeah.
I am in. I remember
me Job.
One of the big
Job.
Job. Yeah.
Anthony's Lawnmower Man.
I love that. And I'll give away a little spoiler. Can I give away a spoiler, Alex?
Sounds like you are about to. You're halfway there at this point.
All right. I'm going to do it.
Dad is asking son for permission. Take note. Dad, that's a first.
No, Alex has as much say as me, so I'll make sure he's cool with it. But no, this season on Between Realities, stay tuned because you may see Brett Leonard is a guest, the writer and director of The Lawnmower Man.
Oh,
wow. Dude.
Hell yeah.
That'd be insane. Do you know what I could also hook you up with? The guy who invented virtuality.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes, 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 yes.
Yeah, he's really interesting as like a company guy. I made a video on it years ago just to go over some stuff, and I played a game called, I think it's Pterodactyl Nightmare. Yeah. And it's free on the Oculus Store, like to go back.
Yeah.
And you can flip it to experience the 40 degree FOV of the original headset and something like maybe 30 frames or less. I can't remember.
Oh, God.
That is so cool. I'm doing this. I did not realize that you can just go play Dactyl Nightmare in its original form.
Yeah.
That's sweet.
So I made like a video, not just on that. I wanted to show like some of the TV skits and some of the adverts and stuff, you know, to show people like how amazing it was back in the 80s, like this technology and stuff. And then obviously you get in there and it's not quite as, you know, but I imagine back then it would have been absolutely insane. And
blew my mind back then. Dude.
Yeah, he commented on my video.
What I was seeing. Like my very first VR experience was Dactyl Nightmare on virtuality or whatever.
Yeah.
And it was a multiplayer experience.
Yeah.
I went with my sister and it was multiplayer. The very first VR thing I've ever done.
Mm.
And, man, it just blew my mind.
It was just awesome watching this news guy play it. And he was like really suffering from motion sickness because the pterodactyl would grab you, lift you up, and then drop you in midair. And you see this guy going, oh my God, he's doing this with his arms. He's really struggling. And I thought, this is so funny. But yeah. I think we follow each other somewhere, and I'll try and get him on the show.
Yeah. I'd love to talk to him.
That'd be awesome. I might even get him on here as well. Fuck it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just our show.
Between realities. Let's get him on here.
I've ruined it now. Give it away.
Man, I put my tweet that we're going to talk about new games coming out. Are there any new games coming out?
Not really, no. It's clickbait.
Sorry,
it's clickbait. No, there is new games coming out.
Firewall, actually. Crossfire, the Alvo, VRSO, Bare Knuckle Fighting. That looks awesome.
Oh yeah.
There's stuff.
Oh yeah. Someone was talking about those screenshots are from Quest.
Yeah, it's nuts, right?
Is that real?
Yeah,
because I would put money on that being absolute bullshit.
Well, it says on the bottom either they're lying or it's real,
or it's six frames a second.
Man,
well, I mean, they are screenshots, so it's one frame for infinite seconds.
No seconds.
Looks too detailed.
Yeah, that's cool, man.
The X is there. I saw loads of people talking about like people hating on Elon Musk. I don't hate Elon Musk at all. Like I just feel like he's, I don't know, like some rich guy who just does things for a laugh. I don't know. I'm not sure.
He's been doing his whole life. Like, who is it? Says he's a troll, right?
As I said, he's obviously doing well at what he's doing. But like, what is the tweet? Well, so the tweet, but he is still tweeting.
Well, this is the thing about
it's X-ing.
He does say, yeah, that's right. He does say a lot of things and people don't take him seriously, but he does what he says he's going to do. You know, like he's done it with SpaceX. He's done it with his boring thing. He's done it with Twitter. You know what I mean? He's with the X app. He's been talking about that X app for like 5 years or longer. So he's just doing what Elon does, whether people like him or not.
There used to be a time where if someone came along and made one thing that improved people's lives in the world, that that it was very rare and everyone thought they were great. This guy came along, reinvented transit, how we're driving, how we're flying to space and taking and exploring different planets, how we are sending money to each other, how we're communicating. Like, and everyone's like, ah, that guy sucks. It's very weird.
I don't think he sucks at all. I think he's a genius. It's just at this point, I don't know what it is. You know, I feel like I'm part of, instead, I think what it is for me personally, I thought I was part of a social, like public platform. And all these decisions he makes make me feel like, no, I'm in, this is Elon Musk's platform. Yeah, this is his platform. Like this is mine. And if you want to be here, you can, you know, you got to pay me. And
the difference is
before that.
Yeah, I was gonna say the difference is, at least for all the other, you know, social apps, it's some big conglomerate that's making the choices, not just one person to point the finger at. You know, even when Jack Dorsey was, you know, everybody pointed it at the whole thing. So I don't know. It's definitely a weird thing.
I'm sure that there is someone who you could point that finger at, but they're hiding behind the company. You know,
correct, 100%. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess you do have to respect that. But I am curious, gentlemen, is Switchback fixed? Is it time to play it?
Yeah.
It is 100% fixed. Yeah. Really,
it's
good.
Better. It's not just, it doesn't just look better, it plays better now.
I can't wait to get back in there.
Yeah.
Does this warrant being on people's top 25 list now? We already know it was on yours, but
God, I hope
it
so.
Was not on a lot of people's. Does it you think it now it changes things or no? Because it didn't change the gameplay. The game, I think a lot of people had issues with the gameplay.
It did change. Well,
it did change. Yeah, because I noticed.
Yeah, but let's take AJ for an example. I know he did not like the second half of the game because he said he thought it was repetitive and boring. That's not going to change.
Well, that's not going to change. But what did change, at least for me personally, there was a point where I had a freaking zombie thing in my face. And I had both of my guns and I was shooting them and I was very shocked that I wasn't hitting them, but my guns were angled. And so whatever seemed to be happening before where it felt like there was aim assist, it didn't feel like there was aim assist. I like literally was able to miss the zombies. So something's different in that respect.
Yeah. I've asked multiple other people about this and not everyone has noticed it, but a lot of people have. That very noticeable aim assist that was in the game at launch doesn't seem to be there anymore. Like your guns actually fire straight.
You're talking about scoreboards, Wes, weren't you, the other day?
Yeah.
Yeah, I missed
it. Yeah. Yeah, and it's going to be difficult. If I'm right, if I'm correct, it's going to be difficult for anyone to reach their higher scores, especially people playing on the higher difficulties now. Because it's more difficult to play the game now. It's harder to hit the target because they're not helping you anymore.
So PD just said Switchback was still the same for me. I think people who had issues have different components in their PS5s.
Well,
or PSVR2s.
Pat, wait, well, you're saying there was no changes, PD? Okay, for one, the loading times were significantly decreased. Like it would go from one
your
scene to
PS5
the next. Oh, that's right, my different components. Okay.
For your different
maybe that is true, but the scenes, I started the game over, the scenes in the actual cutscenes were crystal clear. That the blurriness that was there, that was that shimmery, wasn't there anymore. And like Wes was saying, the distance and the things that you saw in the distance were, you could see a lot more clear. So I don't know. To me, it felt like it was night and day difference, specifically in the cutscenes.
So it felt like for me, it's like when I played it before, I enjoyed it. It was a zombie shooter. It was very, there's like moments of nothing and scenic railway and things like that. But playing this new version, it felt more like a House of the Dead shooter That's what it felt like suddenly. Certain...
I got that vibe.
Yeah.
I got that vibe a couple of times. Yeah.
And I was sort of thinking to myself, why is this happening? Like, why is this happening? And it didn't happen before. And maybe, I mean, like you're saying, if the ISIS isn't there, that means you've really got to try and focus. Like, you've really got to work hard to get these shots right. But Paradise, if you're saying slight changes, I would honestly say I think there's, in some ways, looking at my side-by-side footage, there was actually some effects they'd taken away. So it didn't look as, like, not glossy. So, for example, like flames, there were some bits missing, you know, like it wasn't as polished almost in some ways. I don't know. There were some effects missing. But the game just looks so much crisper. And the zombies, right, because of that, it looked more like a arcadey shooter. And I thought it really, really suited it. I thought it looked really good. Suddenly I was playing this game and I was noticing stuff I'd never noticed before.
Same here. And I was going through areas like, is this new? Like, yeah. I don't remember this.
Yeah. You know? I was going through the notes and I was like, no, they have not added a new area. They might have added new animations to some of the enemies, but there's not a whole section that wasn't there before and it is now. Like, that's bullshit. And so I'm sitting there, I'm scratching my head. I'm like, why does it feel like this? So yeah.
I think it's a combination of a lot of things. I think this was a very, very comprehensive update that changed a lot. A lot of subtle things, a lot of small things, but the cumulative effect is very noticeable to me. You know, maybe not to Paradise Decay, but to me, it's very different now. Yeah. Not only in how it looks, but how it plays, how it feels, and it's a change for the better. So,
can't wait to get back in there. Stoked.
It's a massive, massive patch. Like, yeah.
Man, I really hope now that they have this dialed in, maybe they put some focus on remastering Rush of Blood and bringing it in.
Yes. That'd be beautiful. Although, Wes, wasn't it, you sweet. Were saying last night that I guess that's up to Sony.
That is a Sony, reportedly a Sony thing. Sony's got full control over Rush of Blood, so it's not really up to Supermassive.
That was Reddit, wasn't it? It was on a Reddit thing, I think, that come up. Someone was asking.
It was in my comments. It was in my comments. Somebody like, listen, they've said this 100 times, you know.
Yeah.
They can't do anything about it.
It's not. Yeah. It's not even the same team, like, that made Switchback, that made Rush of Blood. So
that's right.
But that being said, I agree 100%. I want it. I want it now. I think it would be amazing. A remaster.
Just a remaster with the new graphics engine. And the new haptics and all that stuff added into it, that would be enough.
Yeah,
I played Lo-Fi yesterday.
Yeah, I saw that,
dude. Like, I did not realize. I was kind of like, I've been trying to put this off for ages because obviously the updates come pretty slow. And I realized I didn't play it since January 2021, and I was like, really? Like, I can still remember it clearly. So yeah, I hadn't played it. I went in there. There was quite a lot of new stuff. There's still not a game. There's evidence that a game is being built. There's murder scenes, crime scenes. There's like a... I have seen Blade Runner, but I don't really remember it. So the new Blade Runner is more of the film I remember. You know, like the dusty, orangey place he goes, that city. Like, if you leave the main area, you can go over the wall and enter that city. And there's like a racing rink. A car, like a I don't know, like what it's supposed to be, but that was there. And all in all, there's such an atmosphere to that game. And some people don't believe the word in some of the comments. They're like, but does it look like this in the headset? And I'm like, yeah, it does. It doesn't look as I'd say it looks better in the headset in some way, because you're looking at it at 60 FPS and I'm looking at it at 90.
With stereoscopic 3D and depth.
Right.
And
yeah, stuff. People don't believe
me. Better than that,
yeah, it does look amazing, but I can still see the outcries of people who have paid for the game and are still waiting for a game.
As long as he finishes it, that's all that matters. You know, if he makes a really good game, if we took any game, if you took Elden Ring and you roamed around in it, you know, a year or two after they started, or, you know, I mean, just because that was such a bigger scope of game, you'd be like, what is this? Like, you can't take a game in a flashpoint, you know, time stamp of this time As long as he does it good, I don't care. I am one of those people that paid for it, and I just want it to be fully fleshed out. If it takes a couple more years,
it's just everything.
So be it.
It's just everything, you know? Like the music, but it, the atmosphere, the rain, the neon. Like, the, I went into the diner, the amount of light sources in there, my GPU was like, my God.
All right, serious question. What if there was a developer who had been working on a game for a really long time? This is like their magnum opus, like what they are going to call their masterpiece. And they started development during the PlayStation 3 era. And it's a PS3 game. And it comes out today.
It sucks.
And it's a masterpiece. Could potentially be a masterpiece. But it's a PlayStation 3 title. Would you play it? Would you have any interest at all in firing up a PS3 and playing a game that came out today for that platform?
I wouldn't, because the gameplay would probably suck. The graphics would be dated. But that's where developers, they have this dance they're doing, right? They have to, they take so much time, but they have to still keep up with what's new today. And so I guarantee games like scrap things, add new things, change things, make it more updated. And so that's the danger he takes with as long as it takes, you know. I mean, does he put something out that we look at and we're like, okay, this is cool, but it would have been cool in 2016? I mean, I guess GT, you would know, he's been working on this thing for almost that long, right? Does it look like a game that's been out in 2016, or does it look like 2023?
No, it doesn't look, it looks really good. There's definitely, how can I put it? No, it does. It does look really good. I'm trying to think. I think it's very hard to judge because I can't get over the fact there's nothing to necessarily do. You know, there's nothing. It is like a world exploring game, you know, at the moment, if you want to call it anything. It looks really good. It looks really good. It definitely needs optimization, but it's a beta. And it's a beta from April. You know, it's not even recent. So, Sherzo, thank you ever so much for the $2 donation. Says, is it better than Lon? Lon was actually really surprising. It still had that indie jank when I played it. You know, like, I don't know, things might look good, but they're just hollow or something, or the animations.
They're looking Lon, I think. Yeah. You know, Lon has a game to it. So
Lon has a lot of game to it. There's a lot of different elements to what you can do in there now.
I need to get in Lon. I've been in there for ages.
Yeah, there isn't really anything to do in Lo-Fi, but I will tell you, last time I went in there, I walked around for hours. I was floored by what things looked like. It was absolutely gorgeous. I remember landing my ship and going, oh, there's a movie theater over there. I walked in, I went, and I watched a 20-minute short movie, and it was awesome. It was really, really good. And then I left and I got in my car and I took off and I flew to some hotel. And like, I don't know that there's really anything else out there that compares to it graphically. It is stunning, absolutely stunning. Now, if he can build a game into that, which you got to do, because stunning can only get you so far. Like, I'm not going in there every day because it's beautiful. Like, I need something to do, right?
Yeah.
But if he can make something good in there, it could be a home run. But we'll just have to see, because getting game mechanics down is very different than building beautiful scenery.
Absolutely. Do you remember in Lo-Fi, you can go to the apartments where you live?
Hmm.
Yeah. And I remember thinking, I don't know if you've ever seen, have you seen like on YouTube and stuff, there's some channels that just play like a reoccurring background of some sort of animation, and they play music. Yep. And there's a bit in Lo-Fi where you're just looking out of the window and the rain's hitting the window and you're just looking at the city. And I was like, fucking hell. Like, I could imagine myself just sitting here and having to think. Like, and just getting away from it a little bit. And anyway, I was going through the apartments and Blair is in one of them in a time capsule. Like, it's so freaky, dude. He's got his goggles on and he's frozen like in mid-air. And I was just like, I'm not going
to
spend.
I didn't see that. I'm going to have to go in there and look for that. Now.
Yeah, as I said, it was updated in April. There's a lot of new stuff I found and some characters.
Mm.
He put himself in Technolust as well. He was in the arcade in like this fortune teller machine. where you put in credits.
Oh, yeah, like, that's right. A little bobblehead version. Was it,
yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah. I'm excited
to see where the soundtrack goes, because he's hung Gunship posters up all over the game. He's been talking to them about doing a soundtrack for the game, and Gunship is up there with one of my favorite bands of all time. So I cannot wait to get my hands on the soundtrack to this game too when it comes out.
Yeah,
yeah, it's going to be awesome. I feel like in a way he's building like the perfect social space for VR, but making it single player. I don't think there's going to be any kind of story campaign. And he said repeatedly, there's not going to be anything like that. It's just going to be a space for you to exist in with a bunch of, you know, there'll be some mini games and things in there, arcade and fishing and racing and this sort of thing. And then you can work. There's going to be like little miniature side quests and stuff that you can do. And some of that stuff will be, have a little story behind it, but there's not going to be any kind of conventional game here.
Yeah,
it's gonna be Shenmue in VR.
I want to drive
a forklift. Nobody remembers Shenmue from the Dreamcast?
Yeah, dude. You carry boxes with the guy at the same time, and if you drop,
this is like you just had a job. You were like a forklift driver.
I already got to deliver Amazon packages recently. That's enough for me.
Oh, that was a good one too.
Are you one of those guys? Do you just throw them?
No, I mean in the game, but I would love to. In real life, it's just, actually, I did work for Airborne Express when I was in my early 20s, and yeah, there's something very satisfying about flinging somebody's package at their door. They just don't get caught. It's not great. GT.
No. I just want to thank everyone for the support today. Mickey Burr just dropping keys of some really great games. I'm like the Green Hell VR. Gloomy Eyes, not to mention probably God knows how many more he's done throughout the show. And you know, I hope people are saying thank you, you know. Yeah, it's amazing. Thank you. Key gone in 0.1 seconds.
Gotta be quick.
Someone's sitting there like building up their bloody Steam library off Mickey. Like,
yeah. Well, and like I don't know like what it's based on, but I do know that streams just show up at different time, like in like different intervals, I guess, for people. Like sometimes when we're traveling, you know, like me and Skiva and Mash, like we'll all be tuned into Virtual Strangers while we're in an Uber or while we're at an Airbnb or something like that, and all three of us will have our phones going and they'll all be live, but somebody will be like 2.5 seconds ahead of them, you know, or 5 seconds ahead, you know, or whatever. And I'm sure the live chat's the same, so somebody out there is getting an advantage. I don't know how, but I'm sure that it's not appearing in the exact same timing for everybody.
Well, and if you're good at copy pasting and you know their Steam keys, it's very easy to boom, boom. I used to grab keys off of Anthony's streams back in the day. So much so that I actually stopped because I felt guilty because I was getting them all.
I think they fixed that. Have you guys tried it recently? I tried a Steam key the other day and I would not let me copy paste. I had to manually type.
Really?
It.
What?
Yeah, I don't know if it was just me or for everybody. But if anybody else has tried out there, for me, Steam, you cannot copy and paste anymore.
Yeah, you can. I copy pasted on a couple days ago.
I literally tried it. Like you sent me a key the other day. I tried it with that key. It would not let me copy and paste.
Sometimes you got to use your keyboard to paste, like Control V. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Yeah, you can't right click anymore to hit paste.
What right click?
Yeah, who does that?
What world are you living in?
Why the fuck am I going to Control V? That's two clicks I need to do instead of one right
click. Mash, this is not the hill to die on.
Dude. Control C, Control V, Control C?
Control V, Control C.
It is so fast.
It's faster than right click and paste.
I will.
Yeah. You better end this fucking show.
Mash,
no, hold on. You know what you're talking about, bro? Right click, dude.
This is where the logic is flawed, Mash. Because when you right click, you have to drag that down, and you have to find copy paste instead of just Control V does it in one shot. Boom, bam.
I'm gonna try it right now and see if it even works. It probably doesn't even work.
So it doesn't even work. Why wouldn't it work?
You're hilarious. So
I do want to take a second just to let everyone know out there that Mickey Burr does, or Mickey Bear, as it's actually correct.
Mickey Bear.
Yeah. He isn't like He isn't like part of the show and he's like distributing keys we gave him. No, this guy went out and bought all this stuff because he loves the community. And he's just here like giving you guys games because he's a rad dude. So just
and he does it. He awesome does it guy. For several shows. He was at our show last night doing the same thing. So awesome.
Incredible guy. I mean,
so are you sure he's buying them? How do we know he hasn't just like gotten access to the Q2C game list and he's just siphoning?
Now we know what happened to it, Eric.
Yeah, there it is. It was Mickey Bear.
Have you seen Funky Sloth's comment?
No, what do you say?
Right click,
Grandpa.
I know.
We need to get that on a t-shirt. Yeah, man.
I don't know what you guys are talking about.
This was not the episode for that. After we established that you're moving to Florida.
I don't know what you guys are talking about.
That is true.
What you guys are talking about.
I'm trying to right click on this.
Right click, dude. It's so fast. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, my God. You're so funny.
Control C. Get out of here, man.
Control V. Yeah. Kind of world we live in, right?
It must be some kind of Phoenix thing or something. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. You know
what happens when the temperature gets to 120 degrees.
Yeah, right.
Well, unless anyone else has anything more profound to add or just normal. Anyone?
No, you gotta end this, GT.
I think we have. Thank you ever so much to everyone for tuning in today. Really appreciate it. As always, we are back for Mondays now, as far as I know, for the foreseeable future, hopefully. I think Gamescom's happening next month. I don't know. Any of you going to Gamescom?
Yep. Me and Eric are.
Beautiful. Beautiful. I wish you could get to Gamescom, Wes. I think you'd fucking bust the nut.
I would so love it. People contact me every year. It's like, I've got this awesome thing and I've got that awesome thing. Are you coming? No, I'm not coming.
Yeah, what you need to do is start changing what you're saying. Say, yes, I'm coming as soon as you fund the flight.
Yeah,
in the hotel.
Right.
I'm on my way. I'll be there.
The only thing is, I think Firewall launches on the 24th? Or the
24th, 24th? Yeah, unfortunately. We're coming to your house to play it, so I hope you're ready.
we're both crashing your pad, you see.
Yeah, we need a PlayStation.
Oh,
5
whoa, what's going on? What, are you coming to the UK after Gamescom?
Yep, we are.
Well, you're going to have to wait for me to review that game, though. Like, you're going to have to come around.
Yeah. What do you mean come around? We're staying with you. Yeah. We're sleeping on your couch, man.
I'll tell the missus.
He'll tell the missus, and the missus will tell you guys that you're not doing that.
Oh, I love it. Right then, guys. Look after yourselves. Thank you ever so much for everyone who joined us. Thank you to all the boys for joining me, and we will see you all next week. Take care. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Easy.